I'm Tori.
And I'm Audrey.
And we're two sisters diving into the darker side of human nature and exploring the unknown.
From chilling true crime and gruesome murders
to spine-tingling paranormal encounters,
we cover it all.
So grab a flashlight
and maybe a blanket,
because you're listening to
The Guilty and the Ghostly. And then I realized I misspelled this. The Boomba Clot. Grab your Boomba Clot, guys. Here we go. Episode 7. And it's raining outside.
Yes, so it's kind of spooky, I guess.
Yep, spooky vibes. Creepy. What have you been up to this week?
I have just been working, honestly.
Me too.
Like, a lot. Let me show you this picture that I took last night when I first got off work. People think I'm lying.
Damn, girl.
People think I'm lying.
73? That's not bad.
That's an insane amount.
Yeah, so if you're in Tyler, go hit up Tori. Give her some tips.
Yeah.
She's a dancer.
No.
Just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Yeah, I've been working. Have you seen the case about the three little girls going around?
Yes, you told me about that.
That is so sad. So I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's three little girls. Their mom had to send them to their dad for visitation. Like, it's court ordered. Dad's, like, homeless right now, living out of his truck, hopping hotel to hotel. He was supposed to return the girls back on Sunday, and when he didn't, alarm bells went off. Mom called the cops. They released a missing persons report for the three girls. I believe they are 9, 8, and 5. So they started searching for them, and unfortunately, very sadly, they found the girls deceased next to the dad's truck in a campground, and dad is still MIA. Last I seen, they still have not found the dad. So that's heart-wrenching. I hope they find him and punish him. Get some justice. I couldn't imagine doing that just because you're mad at the other parent. To hurt the kids, that's crazy. So that was really sad. And then all the Annabelle news.
What's going on there?
So I think we mentioned it too.
Freaks me out.
2 episodes ago we mentioned it. How Annabelle... Well, actually, let me just back up. So today's story... You keep looking at the screen. is Annabelle. So we're going to cover Annabelle the doll, which is very timely with her being in the news here lately. So it is kind of a creepy story. So are you ready to jump in?
Yeah, let's.
Okay. So before she was on her world famous tour, you could find her in the Warren's Occult Museum in Monroe, Connecticut. She sat behind a glass case. She looked like any other Raggedy Ann doll, donning her red hair, a stitched face with that little orange nose and an unsettling little half smile, stitched in. You know what the Raggedy Ann's look like.
I had one, didn't she?
Yes. Yes. So they also have etched the Lord's Prayer into the case to kind of keep her, like, for protection more than anything from her. And on the front of the case, in bold lettering, it's a warning to visitors, and it says, warning, positively, do not open. And they also have attached the devil's tarot card to the case as well. Oh, so very creepy.
Scary.
So her first haunting allegedly took place in 1970. She has been accused of demonic possession, violent attacks, near-death experiences, and supposed death as well. There's been horror movies made about her. There's Annabelle, Annabelle 2, The Conjuring, Conjuring 2. So it's brought in a lot of money with those movies.
Annabelle comes home,
Yeah. So we'll just jump into her story. We'll just go from there. It all began in 1970 when she was received as a gift for Donna's 28th birthday by her mother. Which, why would a mom get their 28-year-old a
Daughter.
freaking Raggedy Ann doll?
That's strange.
That's a little weird. I guess she found it in an antique shop and she just thought it was kind of cute and just kind of funny, so she gave it to her daughter. So we're gonna blame mom on this one.
And where is this at?
Connecticut.
That's
All the creepy shit happens in Connecticut. It's weird.
it's like
So,
a hot spot.
yes. So Donna took her back to her apartment that she shared with another nurse named Angie. And it wasn't long before the two women began to notice that Annabelle seemed to move around the room on her own.
Oh, hell.
Right there, red flag. If you think a doll's moving on its own,
Throw it away.
gotta go. So Donna would place her on her bed before leaving for work in the morning, and she would return home, and the doll would, like, her arms would be in a different position. Like, they would be crossed when they left, and then when they come home, they'd be by her side, or like the opposite. Like, just faint little movements, I guess, that you're kind of like, well, I could be remembering wrong. It could be, you accidentally hit the doll and it moves or whatever. So they just kind of brushed it off. Maybe they, bump the bed,
Oh.
I just hope that stroke out. Maybe they bumped the bed. The doll fell into another position. They thought there was no way that the doll was moving on its own. And again, if it would have happened at my house, if I would have thought it's moving, like,
I would have got right in
hell
there.
no. So, do dolls freak you out?
Not like, depending on the doll.
Yeah, like a lot of people do have doll fears, and I don't necessarily have a doll fear. It's more, like you said, it kind of depends on the doll. If it just looks creepy or it freaks me out,
Yeah.
then. But I've got a little bit of a funny story. So my sister-in-law, I don't remember if she asked for it, if it was just gifted to her, that I don't remember. But she received a ventriloquist doll for like Christmas or her birthday or something one year.
What is that?
That's one of those dummies where they like move the mouth and it makes it talk. And so it already freaked her out. But then Goosebumps was really popular right then. And do you remember Slappy from Goosebumps, the little ventriloquist doll? So about the time she got that doll, that episode was released. So then she was really freaked out by this doll. So she made her mom stuff it in Rachel's closet, like to keep it away from her. She didn't want anything to do with it. Well, one night when she went to bed, Josh snuck into her room, got in her closet, and pulled out that ventriloquist doll and set it up like on a chair next to her bed. So it was staring at her while she was sleeping, and she woke up and saw, and where he put it, she couldn't get past the doll to get out of the room away from it. It was in her path. And so she just started screaming bloody murder until her mom would come get
Gosh.
it. Which that's very much a big brother thing to do, is to freak her out. Yeah, she was young, like preteen age. So back to the story. Time went on and things were too strange to like shrug off. Like things started happening too frequently. They would leave the doll in Donna's bedroom only to find the doll in the living room. They would also find the doll standing upright with no explanation on how it got there. So, a Raggedy Ann doll, like there's no bones, like there's no way for it, but they would come in and it would just be like standing on the couch. Yeah, that's freaky. Then she would leave the doll on the couch and head out for the day, only to return home and it wouldn't be there, but it was in her bedroom on the bed with her door closed. So again, you think this doll's moving, get rid of it.
Yeah, I do think I'm actually a little scared of dolls, I'm not gonna lie. Because I'm scared of objects, like not even just dolls, like anything. If I go into the kitchen and there's knives everywhere, I'm leaving. Like, I'm walking the other way.
I've seen too many scary movies where those things like fly across the room and
Yeah, or like you wake up in the middle of the night and all your cabinets are open.
Ugh. When
They're
I
not
used
leaving.
when I was little, I would go to sleep and I would freak myself out because I'd be looking at like the dolls or toys, and then I would convince myself that it was like Toy Story, and as soon as I go to sleep, those things would come alive and move around, and then I'd freak myself out so bad. So stupid. So they started getting really freaked out about it, and that is when notes begin showing up around the apartment. So the handwriting on the notes, it looked like a child's handwriting, and this is to me the freakiest part. It was on old-looking parchment paper, like that old thick paper, and they didn't have any. They didn't own any parchment paper. It was just randomly showing up with notes on it. You want to know what the note said?
I don't know.
Help me.
For real?
For real. It said help me on the notes, and it was scribbled in like kids' handwriting on paper that they don't own.
What is going on?
The women had no clue where the paper came from. They didn't have any like that in the apartment. Again, the message would read, help me. It was just absolutely terrifying for them. They would just walk in and there'd be like a note laying on the counter and have no idea where it came from. They just like the book. Still, they were in denial that this creepy ass little doll just miraculously started showing up in random places in their apartment. They were convinced, though, that it was someone coming into the apartment. It's not the doll.
Oh my
It's somebody
gosh.
sneaking into their apartment and moving the doll to mess with them.
Are they thinking like properly?
I don't think so.
Weird things didn't start happening till after the dog got there, right?
And these aren't like notes laying around. That's not something you can just pass off. Like, where did that? I don't know. So what they decided to do was make little booby traps to leave like around the apartment to catch who was doing it, to see who's coming in. But of course, the booby traps were never set off. So that's when they realized nobody's coming in. They never caught anybody. Their traps aren't being set off. Nobody's coming in. So, with no one entering the apartment from inside the house, I guess that's when they finally decided, okay, what else is going on? But that also kind of reminds me of the episode we covered with Daniel LaPlante when he was living in the walls and messing with the family and moving stuff around.
Yeah.
So I guess it happens, but still, it's coming from inside the house, girl. Get away.
That's so creepy.
I know. So finally, the women are realizing there's something going on. Something going on, possibly with this doll. So they reach out to a psychic. The psychic then decides to hold a séance, which again, why are we still holding a séance in a creepy ass house when stuff is already going on? That's just asking for trouble. During the séance, she makes contact with a little girl. This little girl's name was Annabelle Wiggins, and she had been murdered on the property, so I guess she lived on that property before the apartment building was built there. This is what she told her anyways. That she lived on the property before the apartment building was built, and she had been viciously murdered by her parents.
Oh
But she also told the women that the spirit felt safe with them and liked living in their home, and so they kind of welcomed it in. So that's opening a whole nother door by saying you're okay to stay here.
my
Again, if this was me, no thank you. Time to move. Let the doll have the house. Like it's not my house anymore. It's the doll's.
gosh. Exactly.
Not these two though.
Not
They
your place.
felt guilty for the child, and they started treating the doll almost like a real child. They would watch TV with her. They'd eat with her, talk to her like she was a real child in their home. So again, that's just opening up that door by communicating and welcoming the spirit in. Supposedly, they would sit at the table with the doll's hands like crossed on the table, and as they were eating, the hands would just move and lay there like this on the table while they were eating. No, thank you. The two women, Donna and Angie, they were just living like three roommates, Donna, Angie, and this Annabelle doll. Until Angie's fiance, Lou, came to visit. Lou had heard the stories about the doll and thought they were just crazy. He didn't believe any of it until one night he was sleeping on the couch and he had a nightmare. In the dream, Annabelle was crawling up his legs and got to his neck and started choking him to the point where he thought he was going to pass out.
No, what?
But then he jolted awake. He realized it's just a dream. Calmed down. He started trying to catch his breath, but then his chest started to sting really bad. And when he looked, he had three claw marks going across his chest one way, and then three going across his chest the other way. By this time, he realized, okay, it's more than just a nightmare. But again, how did a doll with cloth hands
Do that.
leave claw marks? She's not the Wolverine. Like, how does that work? What are the how yeah how, what are the logistics of that? How does that even work?
I'll take the puzzle, y'all.
Yeah, it's crazy. At this point, the girls were concerned about the sudden change in the doll. Now they're concerned. N now. All the other
Yeah.
stuff was cool, but
Yeah.
now they're worried. Now they're worried about it. So they decide to reach out to a local priest, and the local priest was like, "Nope, you better call Ed and Lorraine Warren," which, do you know who they are? Okay.
Because of
So,
the conjuring and everything.
yeah. So the priest said he was not equipped to deal with it, what they had going on. And so the priest decided to call the Warrens. Ed Warren's a demonologist. His wife Lorraine was a psychic. I'm definitely going to cover them on a different episode. In recent years, a lot of information has come out about them. Have you heard about that?
No, what happened?
So allegedly, he was very abusive towards Lorraine. And when he was in his 30s, like early 30s, and married to Lorraine, he was a bus driver. And he met a 15-year-old girl. And supposedly, him and this 15-year-old girl started a relationship. And she moved into the house with the Warrens. And he, like, kept her in, like, she had her own separate room in their house and kept her there. So he's 30 something, and this girl's only 15.
What?
There's a lot more. So we will definitely have to cover the Warrens and their
I
life.
did not know
But
that.
that shatters my view on them, because like on The Conjuring, they're so loving towards each other, and like they re but when I guess when they sold their life rights to the book and the movies, in the clause they said they could not bring up extramarital affairs, sexual abuse, and stuff like that, which is very odd for somebody to do unless that they know there's something that could come out publicly. So yeah, that's crazy. So we'll have to dive down that rabbit hole another day. Anyways, the priest reached out to the known couple and asked them to look into the doll and let him know if the church needs to intervene. After they got the details about what was going on, the couple decided we'll take on the case. We'll figure out what's going on. So Donna, Angie, and Lou met with the Warrens at the apartment. The Warrens recorded their experiences on a recorder. Angie and Donna told them about the doll moving through about the apartment and kind of how they welcomed the doll after they talked to the spirit.
And Ed and Lorraine were probably looking at them like, "You're so stupid.
You're
Like, what?
so dumb.
Like, why'd you do that?"
Exactly. And then Lou recounted his experience with the doll and told them that he would have reoccurring nightmares of it. He also told them that he had been attacked at the apartment and had cuts from the doll, this time leaving three vertical scratches and four horizontal ones, and they almost felt like burns. And at this point, the marks had already healed, so he couldn't show the marks to them. But both Donna and Angie confirmed that they had seen them after it had happened.
Okay.
Lorraine then tells them that people are normally not bothered by inhuman demonic spirits unless they do something to bring it into their lives, like treating them like a child, telling them they can eat with them, watching movies. So they kind of brought it on themselves. The priest then is called to the apartment to perform a cleansing and was able to bless the home. Donna, still being freaked out about everything, asked the Warrens to take the doll with them. So finally, she's like, all right, doll's got to go. I'm done. Thank God. Well, they agreed, and they headed home with this creepy doll in the back seat. That's when they began experiencing the darkness from the doll. So their car started stalling on the way home, and like they would be driving along, and all of a sudden it'd swerve off to the side of the road. And then Ed decided to take, he's like, I'm going to take back roads to avoid traffic since we're having so many car issues. All of a sudden, the power steering and the brakes quit working on their car.
Oh, gosh.
So then Ed's like, okay, let's douse this doll with holy water. So he did, and they were able to barely, you know, get home without incident. So they were able to get home. So once they made it home, they began noticing that Annabelle was moving around on her own again. And which I don't really necessarily relate this to Annabelle. They said that a black cat showed up and started roaming around their house. But I mean, cats show up all the time. I don't think that has a, don't blame the cat. What'd the cat do?
Well, black cats mean like
bad luck. I know, but I love black cats. So they finally had enough. Let me back up. The cat started showing up and roaming around their house. So yeah, they finally had enough, and they began locking Annabelle outside in their office, because so they were keeping her in their house, but the same stuff started happening. They would leave her in one part, and then they would come in later on and she'd be somewhere else in the house or doing that little freaky standing up with no freaking bone. And they're like, okay, that's enough, put it in the office outside. So that's what they did. But again, they would return home and the little demon doll would be back in their house, sitting in Ed's easy chair. That is so creepy.
Get her out of there. I wouldn't take that.
It's almost like she's taunting him too. Like, I'm in your chair. What are you going to do about it? Soon, guests would become threatened by Annabelle when they would come to visit the Warrens' home. One priest came over to talk about another case. The priest asked why she was there, and the Warrens told him what happened. The priest told them she was just a rag doll and kind of mocked. And he kind of mocked her and was like making fun of her, saying she couldn't do anything. What are you going to do? You're just a doll. And the Warrens told him, be careful what you say to her. And he kind of like, oh, okay, whatever. And he went to leave, and they're like, be careful on your way home. Well, later that night, they get a call from that priest. He told them that his brakes failed on the way home. He was in an accident and completely destroyed his car. He also said that during the wreck, ooh, this part's creepy, during the wreck, he happened to glance in his rearview mirror where he seen an apparition of the Annabelle doll in his backseat.
What's an apparition?
Like a vision, like a ghost, basically.
Uh-uh.
And he saw her sitting in his backseat. Talk about a jump scare.
That's scary.
The Warrens then built a protective case to keep her in, which is what she was kept in to, you know, here still. We'll get to that. So they keep her in this glass case to keep her contained so she would quit showing up at random places in their house. Once a visitor came to their museum and he began taunting Annabelle, telling her to prove that she could do something. And again, just taunting her, because I didn't mention it, but the Warrens actually had a museum of all the haunted oddity stuff that they have. And you could pay to come tour their museum. So this guy comes and starts taunting this doll. So that visitor left with his girlfriend on a motorcycle. Right after they left, just a few hours later, they were in a really bad accident. The girlfriend's injuries were so bad that she was in the hospital for over a year. The man that taunted the doll was killed. Yes. So the doll became known as the most evil thing in the museum, to the point that Lorraine wouldn't even look at it for the longest time. Like, she wouldn't even glance in its direction. The Warrens continued to run the museum with Annabelle, and all the way until their deaths. Once they passed, their son-in-law continued running the museum where people could come visit the doll. The doll brought in a lot of people to see her, and so they even started charging for an extra charge just to see the doll. So you would pay one ticket fee to come tour the museum, but if you wanted to go see Annabelle, you had to pay another fee to go see her. Annabelle has been making headlines recently. The Annabelle doll was brought to New Orleans by the New England Society for Psychic Research, and they've been taking her on tour. When they were in New Orleans, 3 days after she arrived, the largest sugarcane plantation burnt down in under 11 minutes. So people are wondering, does she have something to do with that?
Oh my god.
So her next stop, I believe, was Houston. And then headlines started circulating that she was missing. They didn't know where she was. But now they're claiming that those allegations are false. The doll never went missing. But it's just weird how all of a sudden that spread like wildfire that this doll was missing. But she's not. Supposedly she's not. They proved that she was still in the case and she's going to her next stop. So that is the story of Annabelle. And now I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Girl, I will never talk to you again.
You don't want an Annabelle doll?
No.
When you start having kids, I should get you an Annabelle doll. They need one.
No.
And then I'll hide like a little voice box in it.
My kids aren't going to be creepy like
yours. I'm gonna put a little voice box in it. And be like, hey, put this on your mommy's bed tonight. And I'm going to be like, help me. So yeah, that's the Annabelle doll.
Well,
that's wild. So we don't really have any shout outs today, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot of news. We're working on some stuff. We made contact with another great podcast. She's just starting out. Yeah. She's right next door. So go check out the Glow in the Dark podcast. She's covering all true crime. Very sweet. Maybe we can work something out with her. Might do a crossover or something. So we'll figure that out.
Yep. They are, like, kind of working on something that Mom and Dad is helping us with.
Yes, we're working on something else. I haven't made contact yet. I wanted to make sure I researched her case so that I came to her and she knows that I want to know the truth and know all the facts before I just say, hey, call me. So. Yeah, we're working on that. Keep liking, subscribing, commenting on everything. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. The more you guys do that, the more it grows. It's growing a lot within the last 2 weeks. I couldn't believe how much it grew. So keep it up. We couldn't do it without you guys. And I think we're going to start adding stuff soon to our blank wall.
Yay.
Get rid of these ugly curtains and get some cute ones.
So yeah, just it'll be good.
Just doing it.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
We out.
We out.